You're listening to the Hour of the Time. I'm William Cooper. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Well, for the last three nights, you've been hearing a book report on Paul Revere's Ride by David Hackett Fisher, published by the Oxford University Press. I believe it's Oxford University Press. Let me make sure here so nobody makes a mistake when they go to order this book. Oxford University Press, 1994, New York. So, as you know, this is one of my most prized possessions in my library. I don't know what I would do if I lost this book. I have read it probably six times, and I'm reading it again, or at least part of it, to you. Can't read the whole thing. It's a book report. And I want you all to rush out and buy that book. I have nothing to do with the publisher. I have nothing to do with the author. I don't make one single penny on any book that you buy, ever, period. It's just one of those things that I have to tell you to go out and buy. I don't care whose pocket the money goes into, simply because you've got to know our roots. And this is one of those priceless books that tells the truth about the beginnings of this country, at least 2 days in the beginnings of this country. It actually begins. You see, I'm not reading very much of the book to you. This is just a book report to spark your interest to go out and buy it so that you can learn. It begins with Paul Revere's birth and goes through his childhood and his early days in the colonies and how he became a silversmith and earned his living and how he got mixed up in politics and with the Whig Party and how he became disgusted with what the king was doing to the colonists and the colonies and what he did about it and how the Revolutionary War started in this country. And I've got to tell you that everything that you've ever learned about it is just not true. Just absolutely is not true. We're taught so many things that are not true. Like George Washington chopped down a cherry tree, and when his father asked him, he said, "I cannot tell a lie." That never happened. Never, ever happened. It's just one of those legends that I don't know how it starts, but they do. I think it's better that we know the truth. The truth is infinitely better, infinitely more interesting, infinitely righteous, if you know what I mean. And you see, in those days, the king was the government. He had a right to do whatever he wanted with the colonies under English law, of course, restricted by English law. But basically, the king was pretty powerful. And on top of that, it wasn't really the king doing the things anyway. England, a long time before that period, sort of took away a lot of powers from the king. And it was really the king's officers and the parliament and all of these people who were doing the things to the colonies. Not the king, but the king was England. And so when they referred to these things, they referred to the terrible oppressions of the king. And just like someone in, you know, far across the world might do today, they might blame whatever England's doing on Queen Elizabeth, even though she has absolutely nothing whatsoever to do with it. That's the way it was. The colonists were rebels, traitors even. They were blatantly breaking the law, going against their king and country. Today, it's the other way around. If you look at Washington, D.C. As London, and all of us out here as the colonists, we hold the moral high ground today. Our job is to restore constitutional republican government, and those in Washington, D.C. are usurping it. They are subverting it. They are the traitors. They are the rebels. They are the subversive force in America. But it really doesn't make any difference. In the colonial days, even though our founding fathers were referred to as traitors and rebels, they were in the right. They held the moral high ground. Even though they were breaking the law, they held the moral high ground. And today we must do the same. Now, Paul Revere, I guess, in the fables about his famous midnight ride, actually stood for all of those men and women who set out from their homes in the middle of the night to warn their neighbors and awaken the militia and their ministers and leaders and political spokespeople. And there were many of them, to be sure. Many, 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 many of them riding all across the countryside, some on horseback, some in wagons, and some in carriages, and some on foot. In fact, quite a few on foot, as you've already discovered. Nobody said the Redcoats are coming. Nobody said the British are coming. They were British. The Regulars was their army, although they had their own civilian military force called the militia, which we still have today, thank God. And if you don't belong to a militia, you better get your little butt in gear. Seek out and join a militia or form one in your community. And if you don't know how to do that, then as soon as we get the militia webpage back up on the website, you should go there and read the laws concerning the militia. There's even one state of the several states that reserved the right in its constitution for its citizens to revolt against the government with the force of arms, should they feel they are being oppressed again. Oh, yes, indeed. I can see a lot of you shaking your heads. No. Yes, they have the right of revolution preserved for them in their constitution. Guess which state it is? We'll see if anybody knows, because I'm going to open the phones tonight. We're going to talk about what you've been hearing, and I'm not finished with it yet. But I want you to go out and buy this book, Paul Revere's Ride. Paul Revere's Ride by David Hackett Fisher. You all know how to spell David. Hackett is H-A-C-K-E-T-T, and Fisher is F-I-S-C-H-E-R. F-I-S-C-H-E-R. It's one of the most wonderful books I've ever read. It is absolutely accurate in every quotation, in every historical site, in every incident. Everything in this book was taken from the testimony and the official record of those 2 days. All verified, all fact. It is a most wonderful book. Okay, stand by, because we're going to open the phones and take your calls. You can tell me what you think of it. And I want to hear, if anybody knows, which state it is that reserved for its citizens, in its constitution, the right of revolution. The right of revolution, along with the right to keep and bear arms. This should be interesting. See who has the answer, if anybody does. I don't know if anybody will. We'll find out. You're listening to The Hour of the Time. I'm William Cooper. We're going to open the phones now, 520-333-4578. Give us a call, and we'll talk about the last 3 nights, what you've been hearing on this broadcast, what you think of it, and how does it differ from what you've heard before. And also, I want to know, which state is it that reserved in its constitution the right of revolution? Sometimes I just can't understand this, the way the music works on the VU meters around here. I can be watching the mixing board. It doesn't even go into the red and look up at the transmitter, and it's blowing the antenna off the mast. It's incredible. I don't, you know, and nobody can explain that to me. Others are going into the red on the mixing board, and I can hear the static in my earphones, but I look up the transmitter, it's barely, you know, going out. It's and nothing has changed. It's just the way different records are, I guess. I don't know. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hello, Mr. Cooper. Good evening.
Good evening.
This is Kurt from Buffalo, New York.
Hi, Kurt.
How's it going?
Good.
First things first, you got cool taste in music. I love the tunes you play.
Thank you.
And I love those WBCQ jingles.
Thank you. Well, people have told me for years that my taste in music is eclectic.
Much better than some of the stuff you hear on FM nowadays. As far as the state, I'm going to take a guess. I'm pretty... I've heard some other things about this particular state. I'm going to say it's Florida.
Nope.
No.
No. In fact, it's... nope, not Florida.
Nope. Thank you anyway.
Hey, how about the last three nights? Have you been listening?
I listened to the first two. Last night the propagation was absolutely awful, so...
Oh, that's a shame. It's really just beginning to get interesting. If you thought the first two nights were something, wait until the regulars come marching up the road to Lexington Green.
Alrighty then. Well, I'll get out of the way here and let somebody else take it.
Thanks for calling.
Thank you very much.
520-333-4578 is the number. What is the state that reserved in its constitution the right of revolution for its citizens, along with the right to keep and bear arms? Good evening. You're on the air.
Hi, Mr. Cooper.
Hello.
Hi, this is Charlie from upstate New York.
Hi, Charlie. You're not Charlie Brown, are you?
Pardon me?
You're not Charlie Brown, are you?
No.
I was just looking at that Charlie Brown record. In fact, I've got it right here next to me. If you were Charlie Brown, I was going to play it for you. Go ahead.
I believe the state is either Vermont or New Hampshire.
Well, which one?
I think it's Vermont.
Nope, you're wrong.
Okay, I know it's New Hampshire.
How do you know?
Because I knew it was one of the two, but I couldn't remember which one.
Well, we'll see.
Okay.
How about the book report you've been hearing? Have you been listening?
Not the past couple of nights, sir. I'm sorry. I've been...
Well, you don't have to be sorry for me. You're the one who missed it. I was right here.
I know.
I didn't miss a thing.
Uh-huh. I'm sure it was great.
Yeah, it is. Are you going to buy the book?
I'm planning on it.
Good. Yeah, you can go to any bookstore and order it.
Oh, good. Okay.
You can order any book anywhere from any bookstore. Any book in print, anywhere, from any bookstore, anytime. If you don't see it on the shelf, you go up to the person behind that computer and say, I want to know how much this book costs. You don't have it on your shelves, you're going to have to order it. Look it up, tell me how much it costs, and then depending on how much it costs, you can either order it or say, you know, I'm going to go down to Crown Books or whatever.
Okay?
But this book is worth it, no matter how much it costs. And I don't remember how much I paid for it. I got it when it just came off the presses in 1994.
Well, if it comes with your praise, sir, I'm sure it's good.
Oh, it is. You've got to read it.
All right. Well, I'll let somebody else get on there, sir.
Thanks for calling.
All right. You have a good night.
520-333-4578 is the number. What state is it? Oh, my goodness. Wasn't Florida. Wasn't Vermont. I'll give you another little clue. It's not Arizona. Although Arizona has one of the strongest right to keep and bear arms laws in the whole nation. Good evening. You're on the air.
Is it the Live Free or Die State, New Hampshire?
Yes, it is.
Oh, great.
And that's on their license plate, Live Free or Die.
Yeah, well, that's quite a place. They got a pretty good candidate running for president. I don't think he's got much of a chance, but I've been enjoying the program on Man's Play. The propagation hasn't been good, but you just have to concentrate more on listening.
Uh-huh.
And I did miss one Wednesday because I had to work, but I've been enjoying the program on Man's Play, and the information that you put out is always, always just top-notch.
Well, thank you.
Or something else that wasn't...
Is what you've been hearing different from what you were taught as you grew up?
I've been listening to you for a long time, so I kind of expected a lot of it. The details are what's making it particularly interesting, the things that I didn't...
Yeah, nobody ever told anybody that Paul Revere was captured that night, did they?
No, they didn't.
And nobody ever said that the British were, you know, really, even though they insulted him and I'm sure pushed him around a little bit, they didn't beat him up or cut his ear off or anything, and they let him go.
Right. The thing that I found interesting also was, and it makes common sense, that you don't yell the British are coming when you're a British citizen.
Yeah, how about that?
Yeah.
That's the same thing as saying, I'm coming.
Yeah, exactly.
Here I am. I'm here.
Yeah,
if somebody did yell that, everybody would be scratching their head. What the hell is he talking about?
you've gotten a lot of criticism from people that didn't have the foresight or the wisdom to know that without the foundation, whatever we do is in vain. We need the foundation restored. We need to know where we came from. I know that there were a lot of people that claimed they were bored by the Mystery Babylon series, and it was hard to follow, but yet there was so much valuable information in it, and without that information, it's impossible to actually win what we're attempting to win, which is the restoration of our republic.
Not only that, but you don't even know what's going on or who's doing it.
Exactly.
It's a big mystery. People who tell you they're bored when they hear that stuff are the same kind of people who don't pay any attention to anything that's important. They'd rather watch Van Damme movie where they blow up all the cars and all that kind of stuff. You know?
Yeah, I don't know, but I know what you mean.
Yeah.
Along those same lines, the person that says you're preaching to the choir probably is not part of the choir.
I would venture to just agree with you.
Because I've heard that before when I've talked to people. I said, well, you know, we're on the same side. You know, you're preaching to the choir. And then it dawned on me recently that, no, you're the person that probably needs to hear it more than somebody else does.
That's right.
Because you're so uncomfortable hearing the truth that the best thing is to say, well, you're preaching to the choir.
If it bothers them, that's exactly who should be listening to it.
That's it, exactly. And without the foundations of liberty that were laid out, anything that we strive to do will be in vain.
Americans today don't have the slightest idea who they are.
Correct.
Why do you think there's so many teenage and child suicides today? They don't know who they are. They don't have any connection with the past. They're lost. They don't see any hope for the future. They look out and they see this bewildering world. They don't have any roots anywhere. They have nothing to hold on to and guide them. And so they're lost. And when they get lost and their spirit closes up on them and turns black as the deepest night, then they're led down the wrong path or into a suicidal state of mind.
Oh, that's precisely it. And I was sharing, we've got some Mexican-Americans in the neighborhood, and I was sharing with them an article I was in the Free American on the death of a man named Mario Paz, where a SWAT team from El Monte went to Compton and basically shot this guy in the back twice when they did one of their raids after they used dustbuster rounds on both of the doors.
Yeah, and they have no jurisdiction outside of their own city limits.
Precisely.
No police force, no police officer has any jurisdiction outside of the boundaries of his political structure. In other words, an officer from the city of Eager, where I live, has no jurisdiction outside the border of the city of Eager whatsoever. No matter who calls him to come and help them or what, he has no jurisdiction. He cannot be given jurisdiction unless it's by a sheriff who deputizes him.
That's what makes federal police so dangerous.
Yes, and federal police have no jurisdiction inside the territorial boundaries of any of the states.
Oh, that's correct.
state troopers have no jurisdiction except on state highways or state land owned by the state. The county sheriff is the only one who really has jurisdiction everywhere inside a county.
Okay, I'll have to check with the sheriff's department and ask whether or not they authorize the El Monte police to make this raid, or could they even do that?
Well, yeah, the sheriff can deputize any citizen of his county to be a sheriff's deputy.
A stumble bum cops called a SWAT team to go in and execute somebody in a city that's 40 miles away because of...
But why would the sheriff risk his own credibility and his own career by doing that, authorizing something he knows nothing about? I don't believe that the sheriff did that.
Lee Baca is probably one of the most evil men that's ever walked the planet. And he's the current sheriff from L.A. County. He takes over his predecessor, who is probably now in hell, Sheriff Block.
I remember Sheriff Block.
Yeah, a real piece of garbage.
Sheriff
real
Block.
Trash.
Well, yeah, but
just a piece of filth.
You have to remember where you're living and how big it is and how many people are there and how deep the corruption is.
Exactly. One's starting to croak, and then he appoints the other one, and each time they get him, they seem to get worse. Like Block is worse than Pitchess, and now Baca is actually worse than Block. He actually said that he agreed with house-to-house confiscation of firearms.
Well, he's an elected officer.
Right.
Why did the citizens stand for that?
We don't have citizens out here.
What do you have?
Sheep and subjects.
Very good.
had a woman say about Block, he's a good man. I said, oh, really? What's good about him? The fact that he murdered... Donald Scott on his property to try to get his land away. You know, what's good about him? They got lawsuits in every community. They got $15-20 million worth of lawsuits. What's good about him? And she says, well, he must be good. He's still in there.
Well, that's not a reflection on how good he is. It's a reflection on how stupid the voters are.
That's exactly right.
That's
how stupid
the reflection.
She was to think he was good because he's in.
Yeah.
I hope my people are destroyed from lack of knowledge. I guess that's all. Let somebody else get in. Really been enjoying the program.
Thank you.
Bless your heart. Bye.
Thanks for calling. And thank you for that bless your heart. I haven't heard that since my grandmother died. Nobody says that anymore. My grandmother used to say that all the time. Well, bless your heart. Well, thank you. That was refreshing to hear that after all these years. 520-333-4578. We still haven't heard. Yes, did we? Yes, we did. We heard. Never mind. Okay. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hello?
Hello?
It's a nice open discussion.
Sure.
Okay, good. I was wondering if I couldn't hear because the reception is bad in my area. I think it's just a regular shortwave thing. I was calling about the a person that I know that worked as an independent contractor and received a letter from the IRS. They haven't filed and received a letter from the IRS saying that if they don't file and pay, subject to imprisonment or
have they ever filed before?
I don't think so. My understanding is that if a person files,
what they need to do is put the letter back in the envelope.
Uh huh.
Here's my advice.
Right.
I'm not a lawyer. I'm
right.
not an attorney. I'm
right.
not giving legal advice. I'm giving you my personal opinion.
Yes.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Here's what they should do.
Mm-hmm.
And people who do this always fare better than people who don't.
Uh-huh.
Never answer the letter.
Mm-hmm.
Put the letter back in the envelope, seal it up, print opened by mistake on the front,
mm-hmm.
delivered to the wrong address, return to sender.
But then they'll just send it back.
That's what you do every time they send it. The first time you reply, you're admitting that that's you.
Uh-huh. I see.
And that they have a cause for action.
I'm not sure, but I think
if they've never signed a W-4, never filed or paid income tax,
uh-huh.
they're just as free as clear as a bird flying in the sky until they answer one of those letters.
I'm not sure, but I think they called on the phone.
Well, the calling on the phone doesn't count for anything.
I see, and also, is there taxes that are lawful taxes that we should pay like us?
Yes, yes, there are, and there are some people who are lawfully required to file and pay the income tax.
Right, and how does one find out about that?
Study the law. Don't ask somebody else to tell you. If you can't get in the law books and study it, you're always going to be ignorant and at the mercy of the Internal Revenue screwball, the jackbooted thug criminals,
are the
other guy that tells you what to do.
Uh-huh. I really think it's the wrong name, IRS. I think the appropriate name is IRS Mafia.
I wouldn't insult the mafia like that.
Oh, why is that?
That's because the Internal Revenue Service is about 500 million times worse than any mafia ever could be.
I certainly agree there. My mom says one thing that's much better about the mafia than the government is that at least they don't hide what they are.
Yeah, not only that, but usually they don't hurt anybody but each other.
Right, exactly. The ones that get involved. Loan shark or whatever.
And I'll tell you something. In those old neighborhoods, the mafia did what they said they would do. If
right.
you paid your protection money, nobody ever screwed with you. And if they did, they ended up dead in the ditch.
Uh-huh. Right. Right. Like
you know, I'm not saying that breaking the law is good. I'm not saying the mafia are good guys. They're extortionists and racketeers,
right.
to be sure. But they did a better job than the government does.
Uh-huh, and at least they don't hide what they are.
That's right.
And I don't understand about much about business law and what have you, but one thing my understanding is that it's not against the law not to pay a bill. It's against the law to, like, for instance, write a check and not have the funds to cover for it, but it's not against the law not to pay a bill, whether it's a water bill or a credit bill. There's things that will happen.
That's right. And when the IRS throws you in jail, they don't throw you in jail for not paying the tax.
Uh-huh.
They throw you in jail for not filing.
Uh-huh. I see. They throw in jail for not filing.
Yeah, but there's no law that requires you to file.
Right, exactly.
I should say there's no law that requires me to file. I don't know what you're involved in. If you're involved in importing alcohol into this country or any kind of drugs, or if you're involved in the importation and sale of firearms, then you're required to file and pay income taxes.
To the IRS?
If you're a corporation.
Is that lawful?
What?
What you were just saying?
All except for the firearms.
Uh-huh.
But here's the catch, see.
Mm-hmm.
The federal government in the Constitution is given the power
mm-hmm.
to regulate interstate and international commerce.
Mm-hmm.
And when the income tax is applied as an excise tax on the activity of alcohol, drugs, firearms, importation, buying and selling internationally or interstate, and the measure of the excise tax is the income produced by the activity, then it's constitutional and lawful.
I see.
Another one is if you're engaged in the profession of wagering or gambling.
Uh-huh.
Now, if you go to Las Vegas and play the slot machines or play poker and win a couple of hands and you walk away with some money, that doesn't qualify. You're not engaged in the profession. It's not your business. But those whose business it is, like the people who own those slot machines and gambling tables,
right.
they are required to file and pay the income taxes because the income tax, the income is the measurement of the excise tax on the activity of wagering and gambling.
Wouldn't that work differently for such as Indian casinos on Indian reservations here in Arizona?
Indian reservations are separate nations, separate countries. The federal government has absolutely no jurisdiction on an Indian reservation unless the tribe contracts for their protection or for Social Security benefits or for blankets and corn or something like that.
I sure
see, if you accept the benefits, you accept the jurisdiction.
I see. And just one thing about the tax, what I was going to suggest is just simply...
But remember now also, don't believe what I'm telling you here unless
right.
you go verify it yourself in the law.
Right.
And if you don't do that, then you're just as ignorant as before you ask the question.
Right, exactly. I certainly respect that. And one thing I was going to mention is simply tell the truth that... just simply mention that there's radio programs, what I've read and whatnot, that's unlawful, and for them to be doing what they're doing, just to simply ask what laws there to that requires for that tax to be paid.
They won't tell you.
Uh-huh. And
anybody else will tell you.
Right. And that would what would they?
Any lawful government organization will tell you.
Right.
They won't tell you ever.
So if a person gets a letter and just simply calls them up or writes them a letter saying, "State the law," that tells me that...
If they send you a letter and you answer that letter, you're a fool.
Uh-huh.
Tell you right now, you're putting yourself in trouble if you answer their letter.
Oh, I see. So don't mention...
What did I already tell you? If you get a letter from the IRS, the soon as you see it's the IRS, don't even open it. Mark return to sender and send it back. They send another one, do the same thing. Keep doing it forever.
sentence, that be put in pen or typewritten? Or
no. Just write it in your hand on the letter. Return to sender. Refused.
Wrong address. I see.
Because it is the wrong address. See, they're assuming you're somebody that you're not engaged in an activity that makes you taxable.
Right, I see.
That's not you.
Right, I see. And again, I was just simply mentioning what my concept was before I heard yours. I like yours much better. My concept was just simply tell them the truth. That could even create more complications.
Don't even talk to those bastards. And that's exactly what they are.
Right, exactly.
In this country, they're illegal children.
Right.
Bastards. It's a bastard agency. It is not an agency of the United States Treasury Department. It is not an agency of the United States government. If you look in the United States Code under the Department of the Treasury, it must, by law, list every agency of the Department of Treasury. The Internal Revenue Service, the Secret Service, and the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms are not listed anywhere.
I see. And what if a person is approached by someone that knocks on the door or gets a call from the IRS?
Well, did you get a call from the IRS?
No, but I was saying, what if that were to happen?
I don't talk to them. Hang up.
Like, what if they say, can I speak to John Doe and say, yeah, this is John Doe?
No, you don't say, this is John Doe.
Uh-huh.
You say, who are you and who do you represent? Never speak to anyone unless you know who they are. Never respond to surveys or polls or anybody asking you for information.
I see what you're saying.
Never, ever.
If
you don't know who you're talking to, you don't admit anything, you don't say anything.
I see.
You say, who are you, and who or what do you represent?
I see. Okay, well, what if a person has a home-based business and they're on the recording?
Are you required to file and pay income taxes?
No.
Then what difference does it make?
I was just saying, what if the...
You don't talk to them.
Uh-huh.
Period.
I'm just saying, what if the answering machine...
Why does it say that?
Oh, does it have a fictitious name on the answering machine?
No. It should tell the truth.
Uh-huh.
But you can tell the truth in a way that doesn't get you in trouble.
Uh-huh. I see. And how would that be?
Use your brain. God gave it to you to use. I cannot put your diaper on tonight or tomorrow night or any other night. You have to be able to use your brain.
I see.
Okay? You know what you're doing?
Yes.
You're picking my brain to figure out what you should do, and unless you can figure it out for yourself in the law, it's just going to get you in trouble, because the first time anybody asks you why you're doing it, you won't be able to tell them. And if you can't tell them, it means you're full of crap, and they know it.
And to get started with the law, that means going to a library and start reading and researching.
That's right.
I see. Okay, I greatly respect that, and thank you very much. And I'd like to mention one other thing on a certain another subject. I certainly have enjoyed your Paul Revere book report. One other book I would highly recommend is a book written in the early 1850s called The Law by Frederick
Bastiat.
The last name is B-A-S-T-I-A-T.
Bastiat, yes. It's pronounced Bastiat. I have it.
And I thought it was quite remarkable for a book that's so old, before the age of like people like Pavlov or Sigmund Freud, the law is so specifically, so brilliantly explains the nature of the human mind, of a person's mindset.
Well, they knew a lot more than anybody knows today about people. In fact, if you read the writings of the Founding Fathers, you'll find that they knew more about human nature and people than probably anybody that ever lived. God let you go.
Okay, well, thank you very, very much.
Thanks for calling.
Okay, thank you. Bye-bye.
520-333-4578. Folks, there's no magic bullet. You can't call me up and get the answers to your life. You can't go to a weekend seminar and get a whole bunch of forms that you fill out and send into the IRS and all your troubles are over. That's bullshit. Stop it. You get your nose in the books and learn what you have to know. And if you can't do that, forget it. You're already enslaved. They got you. Good evening. You're on the air.
Good evening, Mr. Cooper.
Yes, sir.
I tell you, the shortwave reception here has been absolutely terrible. I've tried to listen to you, but I just catch phrases here and there.
Well, that's okay. Let's get on to what's important. I can't do anything about propagation.
Okay. Yeah, right. What I was wondering is about your website.
Yeah? What about
it? I haven't been able to get onto it. Have you changed the URL?
WilliamCooper.net.
WilliamCooper.net.
That's it.
Okay. That was really what I was wondering. I'll still continue to try to get you and keep up the good work, Bill.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
If you go to the if you go to our website and then go to the obvious link there, you can go to websites where you can listen to the show 2 or 3 days late on the internet.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Bye-bye.
For all those of you who are still lost, it's WilliamCooper.net. That's where you can find us today. 520-333-4578. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hi. Good evening, Mr. Cooper.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, so I got a question for you, a couple, actually. Number one is, do you have the ISBN number handy for that book? It may be beneficial to someone.
Well, I don't have it handy, but I can sure look in here and see if I can find it.
Yeah, that would be a guarantee you're getting the right book.
Well, I think you'll get the right book. It's only Paul Revere's Ride, written by David Hackett Fisher. Here's the ISBN. 0-19-508847-6.
Okay, I thank you, and I'm sure other people will as well.
You're welcome. I'll say it one more time. 0-19-508847-6.
Okay, here's what I wanted to bounce off of you. You know, you hear this idea about what they call the freely associated compact states, and I'm looking in Title 28 of the U.S. Codes.
Mm-hmm.
It's Section 297 concerning the assignment of judges to courts of the freely associated compact states. And in subparagraph B, it refers to the countries that were referred to in subsection A, which they call the freely associated compact states. Is there a code section anywhere in any of the titles that explicitly says that the states are each a nation unto their own?
Well, that's... I don't know.
Yes,
to tell you quite frankly, the answer to your specific question is I don't know.
Okay.
But the answer to what you want to know is that the states are separate countries.
Yes.
Who have come together in a union for their mutual benefit and protection, and mainly, the whole reason for going there to change the Articles of Confederation, which was why they were sent. They weren't sent there to create a constitution or change the government. They were sent there to amend the Articles of Confederation to give the central government, or the Union government in Washington, D.C., which I guess at that time wasn't in Washington, D.C., to give them more power over the regulation of interstate and international commerce, because there were so many conflicts and conflicts of interest, and one state would charge an excise tax on something when it crossed its border, and when it crossed the next border, they would charge it again, and it was getting out of hand and ridiculous. There was no regulation of that whatsoever, and there had to be.
Yeah, I can certainly understand that.
Yeah. What if you started out with a bottle of milk that cost 3 pennies, and by the time you got across 6 of the original 13 states, because of the excises and taxes and licenses and penalties and all of those things, every time you crossed a border, it was up to $8.
Right. Yeah, they've got to put a stop to it somewhere, huh?
Yeah. That's one of the few powers that the federal government has.
Well, you know, something I've pondered as well. I've seen it written two different ways. Do we have a constitution for the United States of America, or is it a constitution of the United States of America?
Read the Constitution. It says the Constitution for the United States of America.
That's the one that I believe, because it's supposed to be a document of negative authority, is it not?
Yes.
Yeah, that's what I thought, too. I've seen it written both ways.
It binds the federal government. It gives them a very, very few and very limited powers, and then binds them against taking any other powers, which it specifically enumerates are in the hands of the state or the citizens, respectively.
Yeah. Well, listen, thanks for your time, Bill.
You're welcome.
Yeah, have a good evening, sir.
I shall. One of these nights we have to do a broadcast on the Constitution. So many people, even people who have listened to this broadcast for years, still haven't read it. Boy, does that piss me off. I mean, I get really angry about that. It's very short. It's the easiest thing in the world to understand. Oh, and if you can get yourself a copy of the 1828 Dictionary or an earlier dictionary, and look up the meanings of the words, they are clear and concise. There is no confusion. It needs no interpretation except by idiots. Only an idiot needs to interpret what the founders wrote. They were masters of the English language. There was no misunderstanding what they wrote. 520-333-4578 is the number. Still talking about, you know, whatever you want to talk about, or what you've heard in the last three nights, Paul Revere's Ride by David Hackett Fisher. One of the best books that you could possibly read. And you must teach it to your children. Good evening, you're on the air.
Oh, good evening. Happy evening. Thanks for the tip on that book. Haven't been able to hear you the past few nights, but I will make point of finding the book. Another thing, you know, there is a group of people who are very much like you, highly respectable, that really offer a thorough education on the income tax trip. And if you thought it was good for the people, I would tell you their website.
No, because I don't know who they are, and I don't know that what you're telling me is true.
Huh?
So if they want to advertise on this broadcast, I have a policy that they can purchase advertising time, but before I would even sell them advertising, they have to send me everything they've got so I can check them out to make sure that they're not going to be lying to the people who are taking their money for nothing.
Well, that's totally understandable. If it was okay, I'd ring you sometime during the day and offer you the place. And, you know, just it's something that if you know somebody that you certainly don't have time to educate people throughout your life, but these people, that is their trip, is to educate America.
Well, you see, I don't need to go looking for them. If they want to advertise on this show, they can contact me.
Okay, and the other thing was, I'd wondered if you ever, on the web, I've actually seen a CIA report that does say that the John Kennedy Jr. plane was blown up. I mean, that's on the web, too, in a spot that...
How do you know it's a CIA report when nothing gets out of the CIA?
Well, as I say, that was something I was going to offer you for your look. I mean, it's a reputable organization as far as I'm concerned.
Well, send me an email and tell me where it's at and what it is, and I'll go look at it.
Okay. All right. Well, have a good night, and
thanks
peace be unto us.
Thanks for calling. 520-333-4578. Don't call the show to advertise somebody out there whom I can't vouch for. Remember, this show has a reputation for never steering you wrong. If I don't know who it is, you're not going to advertise them on this show. You know, if you want to do that, call me during the day and ask me, you know, if I know about whoever it is you want to talk about, and if you can talk about it when we open the phones. And if I know them, and if I know they're honest, and they're not ripping people off, and they're telling them the truth, then I'll let you do it. But don't call me up cold and try to slip in advertising for somebody on this broadcast, because I've never allowed that, and I never will. 520-333-4578. Besides that, I'm not taking advertising. If there was somebody really, really good, whom I really believed in, who wanted to advertise on this broadcast, I might consider it. But I'm not really looking for advertisers at all. 520-333-4578 is the number. I had something I was going to do here. And let me see. Here it is, right here. And I'm still going to do it. I wanted to play this in the middle of the broadcast and I forgot all about it. Beautiful, our heroes prove Well, there's something wrong with that. I can hear it. I don't know about you. It sounds like somebody beating a broom on the table. And it's not in the record. That I know for sure. I know that record. 520-333-4578 is the number. And it's open phones tonight. Talk about whatever you want to talk about. Or the book report you've been hearing for the last three nights. Nobody has commented on whether it's significantly different from what they've heard. I know it's certainly quite a bit different from what I was taught when I was growing up. Even in schools that taught much closer to the truth than any school in this country teaches now, and taught us the history of the beginnings of this country. Teachers were still lost in the same myths that they taught us. And they passed them on. Like Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving is one of those myths. You know what Thanksgiving was really all about, folks? It was about sharing in the middle of a cold, hard winter. That which a lot of people didn't have. The pilgrims and the Indians came together and shared and had a great meal and thanked God for their good fortune. But it wasn't like you think. It wasn't these great cornucopias of fruit and vegetables and all that kind of stuff. It was the middle of winter, for God's sake. Nobody went out in the garden and chopped some fresh celery and some fresh lettuce or picked some fresh fruit. It wasn't there anywhere. Good evening. You're on the air.
Yeah, Bill, what do you think about Colt Firearms' decision to stop selling firearms to the citizens?
I think that's their right. It's their company. They can do whatever they want.
Well, I agree. But do you think the rest of them will follow?
Eventually, if people don't wake up, yes. You know why? Because nobody's standing up for them. They're taking the brunt of all this political pressure by themselves while all the sheeple walk around saying nothing, not chastising the politicians for doing it. And not only that, but they're being blackmailed. See, all these city mayors and governors got together and blackmailed them. You know what they told them? You don't know about that, do you?
I don't guess.
They told them that if they didn't stop selling firearms, specifically handguns, to the American people, that they'd bring so many lawsuits against them that they'd go bankrupt just paying the lawyers to defend the lawsuits.
Well, I did understand that. I knew what was going on right now.
Well, nobody can stand up under that kind of pressure, and the American people didn't stand up and resist it.
Well, you're right. There ain't no doubt about it.
Let me tell you something. The American sheeple are going to get exactly what they deserve. They're going to get sheared, they're going to led to the slaughter, and they're going to get splattered all over the country.
I agree.
Dead. Or in prison camps.
I agree 100%. Well, it's nice talking to you.
Thanks for calling.
Yeah, boy.
Yeah. Washington, D.C. is populated by Marxists and communists, and they're destroying this country piece by piece. Your mayors, your governors are in bed with them. And your mayors, your governors are doing these things, and you're not doing a damn thing about it. You call in to me and you complain about this and that, but you sit at home and these things are going on in your own hometown and your own state, and you're not doing a damn thing about it. And you probably never will, because you're scared.
But you might get on somebody's list, or they might come take you away in the middle of the night. So it's okay if they take somebody else away, just as long as it's not you. Right, Homer?
Right, Homer? Right, Georgie boy? Right, Samantha? You're all guilty as hell, and you know it. Love to complain, but when it comes to doing something, it's do nothing, isn't it? Oh, I know they're going all across the country taking people out of their homes and confiscating their property and doing all these terrible, evil things to people in this country. But, you know, I'm not going to stand up and say anything or do anything because they might come and get me. Oh, I know there's no law that requires me to file and pay income tax, but, you know, I'm going to file and pay because I don't want them to come and get me or get my property. Good luck, dummies. Good luck. You're going to get what you deserve. You're asking for it. What's the best way to get the holy hell kicked out of you on the first day of school and make sure that somebody takes your lunch money every single day through the school year? Simple. Don't stand up to the bully on the first day, and you belong to him. You belong to him. He's your master for the rest of the school year. He will have your lunch money. He will have your sack lunch if he wants it. He will have anything you've got if he wants it. He'll have your girlfriend, if you're lucky enough to have one, after the girls see what a miserable coward you are. And he'll punch you every chance he gets just to prove how big he is and what a coward you are, until you break his nose. And the day you break his nose, that's the day it stops, because he's just a coward. He's an insecure little coward. That's why he has to do that. Don't you know? And you think these movies coming out of Hollywood are just affecting the children? No, they affect everybody. When did the police officers start acting like Nazi jackbooted thugs? I'll tell you when the police officers in the movies started acting like Nazi jackbooted thugs. The police officers go to movies too. They sit there and say, oh man, wish I could do that. They're people, just like everybody else. Yeah, they sure are. Got to tell you, though, there are some damn good police officers in this country. Unfortunately, as soon as they're discovered, they're forced out of the force. They're forced off of the force, out of a job. Or they're stuck as the lowest-ranked patrolman or foot soldier on the sidewalk until the day they retire. And then they say, good riddance, here's your watch, get out of here, and don't ever come back. You see, the good ones never make sergeant or lieutenant or captain. Only the political brown nosers. You know what that means, don't you? Well, it's the truth. It's the truth. I guess we're about down to the wire here. I want to tell you what's coming up. In fact, tomorrow night, I'm going to finish up where we left off in the book report, and then a crucial stage we reach, the muster, the rising of the militia. Don't miss it, especially if you're a lily-livered, left-wing, communist, Marxist, puke-faced, traitorous, subversive pig. Don't miss it. I love to make you guys mad. Good evening, you're on the air.
William.
Yes, that's who you called, isn't it?
Yes, William Cooper.
Yeah, who'd you expect to answer?
Only you.
Okay.
Yeah, love your program.
Well, you better make it quick, because we're out of time.
I'm going to make this real fast. I'm former military, and my question is, a friend showed up about that I haven't seen in about 8 years, about 3 or 4 days ago, offering a card or something like some identification in case of anything major as far as, trying to think of the word right now,
Martial law?
Yes. It's martial law.
They were going to give you an ID so you'd be okay, huh?
Yes. And I wanted to know what you knew about that. And I'm going to hang up and listen to what you have to say.
Well, what I know is I wrote it in my book. When it happens, certain people will have safe passage. They will have IDs that will protect them or allow them to go into underground shelters and escape what's going to go on up here. It's in my book. If you don't believe me, read it. It's right there. I wrote about it years ago. Yes, sir. My ID is my rifle and my pistol. That's my ID. That's the only ID I need. I don't expect to get out of this alive. But I guarantee I won't let you down. I will be a shining example of what an American fighting man should be and which side he should be on and which principles and ideals he should fight for. And my advice is that you do the same. If you can't, then reach down, pick up the chains, fasten them around your ankles and your wrists, and march quietly, like the sheep that you are, into enslavement. And then spend the rest of your life trying to explain it to your children. Good night, folks. God bless each and every single one of you. Good night, Annie, Pooh, and Allison. I love you.
Made up my mind to live in memory of the lonesome time. It's useless to say. So I'll just live my life in of yesterday. Those happy hours that we once knew, so long ago, it still makes me blue. They say that time heals a broken heart, but time has to feel since we've been apart. Thank you.
live in memory of the lonesome time.
Sing the song, children.
So I'll just live my life of dreams of.